الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله نبيه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم، علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى، إن إلى ربك الرجعى. آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam were numbered in thousands. More than 100,000. Some of them had the blessed opportunity to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all their lives since they were born. Some of them, they had the company of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for most of their lives, and some of them only few years they were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And many of them, they were people from all different walks of life. They had other things to do as well. They had children, they had family, they had businesses. आपको पहले बता दिया ना, जिसको समझ नहीं आती इंग्लिश की, उर्दू में ऊपर बयान हो रहा है, उर्दू में, वो वहां जाके बैठ के अपनी जुबान में सुने. सो व्हेन दे वर फ्रॉम डिफरेंट वॉक्स ऑफ लाइफ एंड दे हैड द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू बी विद प्रॉफिट सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम for different time periods, and they also had all those things to do which we have to do, bringing up children, they had families, they had businesses. Some lived quite far away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone could not come and live in Madinatul Munawwara. Nor every companions of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they were very high level scholars of hadith, or scholars of fiqh, or scholars of tafsir, Some only had the opportunity to hear few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their entire life, and then they went into their localities and their countries. So they were not all scholars that they knew everything in the Quran and everything in the hadith and everything else which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. But one thing was common amongst them all. Ye darwaza band kar de isko, taala laga de isse koi aaye na. One thing was common between them all. So I made very clear to you that they were not all young, they were not all old people, they were not all very highly people who educated people in universities or in different schools. In them they were very, very simple people as well, who just went out to graze sheep and goats. That's all they did. Some were just simply ploughing their fields and for knowledge, to attain knowledge you need a particular age if you want to excel very high. But some were already about 70, 80 years old. One thing was common in all of them. One quality was common in all of them, and that was that they were all awliya Allah and friends of Allah. They were all who had reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal. Such a reaching and such a closeness they had that no person after them can reach their status of closeness to Allah, which they had. So what does this mean? They were women, they were children, they were young, they were old. This means, in simple terms, that to become a friend of Allah or to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness and His pleasure, you don't need very detailed knowledge of everything. You don't need a particular age where you should be, or you should think that now I am 40, I can't be a friend, a wali of Allah, a person who is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I am young, or I am a woman who have children to bring up, to look after. I don't find any time to go out to learn the deen, so I am deprived, I can't. This means that this is one of the greatest misconception and deception of shaitan, which he had made people to believe in. Now a person who is sitting at home, he thinks that I can come close to Allah, what shall I do? I really want closeness to Allah, I want really to become a good righteous man or woman, I should go and travel somewhere, I should seek knowledge which takes about 8-10 years and find a such sheikh actually to study, or go to different country for example, or go to Madinatul Manawwara or Makkatul Mukarrama. There I'll find closeness to Allah. But many of them, they are disappointed. How many people are there who have gone to Hajj, for example, from Muslims? There's so many that the government had to put a quota that only so many people can come. For Umrah there are restrictions, with so many people they want to go there. And how many people are there who have already gone from your locality? Please try to sit comfortably in the shahud position or however you wish, but don't move about your hands and feet. But your experience will tell you, and your dealings with them in your locality will tell you, that these people, majority of them, they know their lives are changed, know they are different people, except actually that they have a name of Haji, a title of Haji, there's no other difference in them. Some do change. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did few umrahs, two umrahs and one hajj. And many of his companions had only done one hajj. But what was the thing that they were so closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever they were? So this means that this idea which people have, they think when they're sitting in their home in UK or Pakistan, that they should go somewhere and then they will be very, very pious people, and they should go here and there. With just traveling and doing these things, they're not going to achieve anything. You will see people in Madinatul Munawwara, they are not even praying there regularly. They are just in their shop. You see, now there are maybe hundreds and thousands of people in the Haramain Sharifain who are sitting itikaf. Like you are sitting itikaf. But their lives will be almost similar after, even if they come out of itikaf and back to their own countries. Because they are sitting, as you have gone there as well, no knowledge and guidance for them. Whatever little bit they knew, they know, they are just going to stay there and pray. So all these things, by just themselves actually, they do not take you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness and pleasure. Just a person living further away, like Hazrat Uwais al-Qarni, he is an example. Let aside doing Hajj and Umrah, he had the opportunity to visit the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he was quite further away in Yemen. The message reached him of the path to Allah, of the closeness to Allah. The message reached him. He accepted the message and attained the closeness of Allah there. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed his companions, his blessed companions, that there is a special servant of Allah in this direction. In one of the sayings, Prophet ﷺ said, "I smell the fragrance of the closeness of Allah," meaning the closeness of Allah from Yemen, because actually, Hazrat Uwais al-Qarni. So he did not even come and visit there, Prophet ﷺ. So his life shows that you, not only you are away from Haramain, but if you had not the blessed opportunity, or you did not live in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you still can actually reach very high levels of closeness of Allah, like Hazrat Uwais al-Qarni. Or in the last days of this ummah, there will be people with Imam Mahdi, which will be one of the very turbulent times, the emergence of Dajjal, the emergence of Fitan, the emergence of so many tests. But there will be people, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed about them, the companions, the followers of Imam Mahdi, and Imam Mahdi himself will be a very, very high ranking person. He was not born in the lifetime of the Prophet. He was not born closer to the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He will be even born after us, centuries after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. These people who give ideas, I advise them not to, that they now and then every 2 months someone says that Imam Mahdi is nearly to be born, someone say he is born, someone says that actually just raises confusion in people. When Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has not specified the time, who else should actually specify? He has mentioned the signs, and that's all. And that is for only so that the people, when he comes, they know that he is the original Imam Mahdi. Although he could have actually told people the number of years, so he had not. And the other thing which I often say about those people who are very interested in Dajjal and Imam Mahdi and their coming and what's going to happen, when Imam Mahdi is going to come. Imam Mahdi is great person. He'll be a great person. But these people who are living now, even in their lifetime Imam Mahdi comes, many of them will still practice sins and stay deviants and will go to the camp of Dajjal. Why? These people have not been changed, or their lives have not been changed, because of the coming of the greater Mahdi of all, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You already have come. Imam Mahdi is a great person, but he is smaller compared to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is an ummati. He will be a follower. He is a descendant of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a wali of Allah, not even a companion, not even a tabi. But he will have guidance. That's why he called Imam Mahdi, the person of guidance, the one who will guide. So those people who are very, very, when he will come, they should know that the greater Mahdi, the great guide, which is Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has come, and what have we changed? How have we changed? What change have we brought in us? What benefit have we taken from properly established Dharma? If you've taken good and well, mashallah, they are people, very pious people now as well. The seat of awliya Allah, there are certain number of awliya Allah, which properly said always exist in the face of the earth. Now these people are not that they are sent from skies that go and be awliya Allah. These people are who are born like me and you. They make effort. They search. They find. They struggle. Like the awliya Allah of past have struggled. How much struggle did Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah struggle? He struggled almost 40 years. And the previous people as well. So without struggle and effort, person does not attain except by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah will so, He may forgive, He may choose anyone. But we go according to the rules, the sunan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws and the rules laid down by Allah azza wa jal. Why? Because if you follow the rules, everyone can reach them. And if you are just hoping for a chance, then only maybe one in a billion and other all are destroyed and finished. You and me were living in subcontinent, in Africa, in Asia, wherever. There was a good chance we could have been very rich people there as well. There are businesses there, there are ways, there are millionaire people there as well. There is no doubt. The chance, but practically it was possible. But only there was a slight chance that you might become more richer person if you go to such and such country. We took that chance, didn't we? He didn't say, well, in our city there are millionaire people, why I am not going there? In our country there are very good people who are living well off, why shall I go? You see, people for dunya, we are taking the very slightest chance. And that the deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, deen you will get according to the effort you put. The dunya you get according to the destiny. And Muqaddar which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised every kafir and every Muslim, even every animal, they are going to gain their share of dunya. But akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that your amals will determine, your deeds will determine that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am not taking any responsibility of people that I will enter everyone in Jannah. But regarding dunya, Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is no living creature on the face of the earth that which I don't have responsibility of providing him provisions. Be it ants or be it human beings. But where is the verse in the Quran which has said that Allah has taken responsibility to enter you in Jannah? No, it doesn't exist. There you will find that there is practice. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. Here the matters are different. So unfortunately, like Hazrat Hatim Assam rahimahullah, one of the great walis and sages of this ummah, who said that we are putting effort towards something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already taken responsibility, 90% of effort. And to the thing which akhirah and success in akhirah which Allah has not taken responsibility, we are not putting very less effort or no effort. So this is not a wise choice. This is not wise choice. This is not wisdom. You can't say. That's why these people are classed in the words of Quran and Hadith that they are losers and they are foolish people who have actually lost. So I was saying to you that the companions of Prophet ﷺ from all walks of life, and many of them lived very far away, many of them saw Rasulullah ﷺ once only in their lifetime, and some people living in their lifetime, they were not able to see Prophet ﷺ physically like Hazrat Uwais al-Qarni. And they were simple people, they were very intellectual people in them, they were old people, old women, old men, young and old. One thing common in them, and that is that they were all awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, who reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was giving you the example of Madina Shi, people who going there, they still can be heedless in the prayer. We say, imagine about the dome of the Prophet. Imagine about the Kaaba, that you are sitting in front of the Kaaba. But you can be the person who has literally and practically gone in front of the Kaaba, and you can be heedless from in your prayers. You can be standing exactly next to the Kaaba where there is no other barrier between you and the Kaaba, and you can be heedless from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is something else which actually takes you closer to Allah, not the place only. Not the place. You can be seeing the blessed dome, sitting next to the blessed dome of Prophet ﷺ, and you can be heedless, meaning forgetful of Rasulullah ﷺ or his closeness. You might be doing something else. You might be sitting, looking at the Kaaba, and you might be heedless. Your heart and inner self will be empty, will be away from Allah. So that's what I was saying after Taraweeh, that you should, these things come when you don't understand the meaning of closeness to Allah and the reaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? You heard that these people will be talking about how to reach Allah, how to achieve the closeness of Allah. But what is the closeness of Allah? What is the reaching of Allah? What is the reaching of Allah? What is it that the all companions had common in them? Knowledge was not equal in them. Ages were not equal in them. Simple people like Rasulullah said, he asked one of the companions in Ramadan, now when do you close your fast, sahri? When do you stop eating? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have kept two strings, because the Quran it comes that eat and drink hatta yatabayyana lakum al-khayt al-abyad min al-khayt al-aswad. In the Quran it comes that eat and drink until you can differentiate between a black and a white thread. A black and a white thread, you can differentiate, differentiation come. That whiteness and blackness, you can differentiate. Thread. He, radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've kept a white and a black thread under my pillow. Under my pillow I have a white thread and a black thread. And I carry on eating until I can see the difference in them. I can see the difference in the white and I can differentiate, determine the blackness and whiteness. I carry on eating. And when I can see the difference, black and white, I stop eating. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and he said that your pillow is very, very big. Because in this verse, the white and black thread means that day and night. That when you can determine the darkness of day from the light of the night, when the subh sadaq appears like a thread, or the whiteness appears from the night. So Prophet ﷺ explained to him. So such a simple people, but at the very moment they still actually awliya Allah. At the very moment they were awliya Allah. Such people, that whatever they thought is truth, they will fight upon truth. No matter who is against them, be it another companion, be it their son, but they still awliya Allah. But they still awliya Allah. They're fighting with swords, but they are friends of Allah. But sometimes we are smiling at each other and saying, how are you and everything. But we are not only Allah, we are shayateen and munafiqeen at that time. Sahaba baz talwaron se lad rahe hain, wo phir bhi Allah ke wali hain. They are only Allah. Aur hum ek dusre se mil rahe hain, aapka kya haal hai, badi milke khushi hui, to us par Allah se dur, aur we are coming away from Allah. Why? There's something missing. Something which they have, we don't have. Our smiles and outwardly being very nice is still actually getting us further away from Allah. And they are even actually unsheathing the sword, actually is taking them closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So unme wo kya cheez thi? What was that? Obviously, everyone knows that they were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had the sohba of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But what is the thing which the sohba transferred in them? Or they reached? If you understand that, then you can convey and you can take this message firstly to yourself and then to the masses and give them the good news that, O people of the world, O Muslims of the world, young and old, knowledgeable and less knowledgeable, men and women, you all actually can become the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You all can become the friends of Allah. It's an easy way. So in the lifetime of Prophet ﷺ, the companions would come, the people who were living in surrounding areas, they will come and stay in Masjid al-Nabawi for 8-10 days or so, a month or so, and they will learn and they'll go back. There were people who became Muslim on the hand of Rasulullah ﷺ, and soon after 1 day or 2 days they died. Some immediately died, but Prophet ﷺ gave them the good news of Jannah. So the reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal. Here in this diagram you can see, mashallah, where it says the pleasure of Allah, or reaching Allah, closeness to Allah. We can say the person is closer to Allah. What does it mean? Obviously the process is there. The process is there, it's mentioned there. But in simple terms, I mentioned previously as well and learned this by heart. The reaching Allah Azza wa Jal having closeness to Allah and the pleasure of Allah means two things. Two things. One is having a strong and sound connection, relationship with Allah, and having a weak connection and relationship with the creation. When you have done this, all the process which one goes through is only because of this thing. Can be explained easily. But to attain it, you need to actually go through a process. But why you need to know it briefly is so that you at least you know what you are achieving and what you can convey the message to people in easier words, an easier way. Yani Allah se taluq ka qawi aur mazboot ho jana aur makhlooq se kamzor ho jana. All the process here and the entire teachings of Islam are for this reason. Jitne bhi Islam ke ahkam hain, ye sari namaz, roza, hajj hai, zakat hai, jihad hai, zikr hai, sunnat ki ittiba, following the sunnah, leaving the sins, doing the virtuous acts, and all other instructions of Islam. I'm saying entire instructions of Islam are for these, to attain these two things. That is what the da'i is. See, the da'i, the person who gives da'wah, what is he giving da'wah about? Da'wah is basically due to some humanistic needs, bashari needs, influence of environment, influence of shaitan and other things, people, relationship with Allah has weakened, no, does weaken sometime. To invite them to strengthen that relationship is dawah. Dawah is not waaz and nasiha and taqreer. Remember, dawat jo hoti hai, wo masjid mein taqreer karne ka naam dawat nahi hai. To give a lecture in the mosque is not dawah, that is nasiha or waaz or discourse. Dawah is to create the love and the pull or the thirst and eagerness in the people who are outside of the mosque to come into the mosque. Waaz aur nasihat taqreer jo hai wo to ho gayi masjid mein aake bayan kar, jaise hamare aam taur par aaj kal ho raha hai, right? Today days happen, people whoever come to the mosque, the imam sahab, the sheikh sahab, the peer, the more the whoever, the knowledgeable person, he just opens a book and few things he teaches, good and well, they are happy, and we are doing lot of dawah work, mashallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was greatest da'i. He did not sit in the Kaaba Sharif and say, okay, now who will come here, I will give him guidance. That is waaz nasiha, that is also necessary, because the people who come, you know, they need guidance as well. But the actual your work and the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission was actually not to only guide people or do tabligh to people to who come to the mosque, but the actual dawah, the real dawah is to create this want to come to the mosque in the people who are outside the mosque, who are not actually inside, who are in clubs and pubs, in streets, in businesses and doing all other things. The dawah asal ye cheez hai. Isiliye, yeah, that's why you find in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam life, he was sometime in Taif, sometime in this city, sometime in this village, sometime at the doors of Abu Jahl, sometime at the doors of other kuffar, sometime actually in Medina, sometime in Badr. So he showed practically that the dawah is not actually that people who came into Masjid al-Nabawi to give them guidance. He did that as well, that is also necessary. But that is then actually teaching them, doing tabligh to them, message, so the message reaches them. But the as far as dawah is concerned, it is people who are outside. And the message which the Prophet and Anbiya alayhim salam gave was same as I was mentioning to you before, that the closeness of Allah, the reaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ka qurb, Allah ki raza, Allah ke paas ho jana. Jaise kal kisi ne sawal bhi kiya tha ki how a person knows that he is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. That if your relationship and connection and interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strengthened, you have reached Allah or you are reaching Allah. And at the same time, if the relationship is weakening with the creation, with the sins, with whatever is there, then these two things should be there. And I mentioned to you that all the path to Allah actually goes in detail of this, but all worships of Islam and instructions of Islam are for this reason as well. I mentioned before as well that you can start from kalima, la ilaha illallah. What is the kalima? What is iman? Iman is, firstly you say, la ilaha, you weaken relationship with the creation. See, simple as that. I'm just now giving you an idea that how this principle of reaching of Allah, what it means, is present in all instructions and commandments of Islam. Allah ke tak pahunchne ka kya maqsad? Maine bataya ki Allah se talluq qawi ho jana, makhlooq se talluq zayif ho jana. To maine bataya aapko ki iman se bhi wo shuru ho raha, it starts with iman. La ilaha is weakening creation, weakening connection with creation and false god, cutting away. And illallah is strengthening relationship with Allah. You see two things it consists of. Kalme mein hi sara Allah ne bata diya ki qurb kya hai sab. Makhlooq se talluq zayif, khaliq se, ye tha sahaba rizwanullah ajmain. They were simple or very intellectual. They were old or young. They had this in their mind, in their heart. The relationship with Allah and His Messenger was strength. Whenever they said something, they would not say, oh, I but and if. No buts and if. Mana here, because the relationship is not strong, so we have many ifs and buts. Ye kaise hoga, wo kaise hoga. All these things were present for them as well. They had wives, they had children, they were had businesses, they had work, they were hunger, they were illness and sickness. I mentioned to you the other day the story of that blessed companion who migrated from Makkatul Mukarrama. Makkatul Mukarrama, who thought that when the Quran actually was revealed and said that now whoever can, they must go and do hijrah to a place where they can practice Islam freely, and if here if you can't worship Allah freely and you can't practice the deen of Allah, you shouldn't be there, otherwise on the day of judgment you will be punished. In the Quran it comes, Quran mein ye bayan. The Quran mentions the scene that when the angels will ask, why were you disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why were you following the will of kuffar? The people will say, kunna mustad'ifina fil ard, We were weak people. We didn't have high social status. We were not very rich. And we had to live in a society which was very strong, so we became influenced by them and we couldn't practice Islam, etc., etc. This will be the excuse on the day of judgment which people will give, which the Quran has mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. Angels will ask them, what's happened with you? What's wrong with you? You have sound intellect and what did you do? They say, yes, we knew the truth. But the matter is that we have to do this. We were living in a society, you know, everyone was doing something and we could not be our brotherly and our tribe practice certain customs in different marriage or death or just a way of life. We just had to mingle with them. We were not in a position to oppose them. So they are going to mingle. So these people on the face of the earth now who are living, they are making these excuses. Quran has already mentioned what is going to happen on the day of judgment to them. And Allah has mentioned that they will be punished, where these excuses will not be listened to. That they were under pressure and they were this and they were this. Because the angel will say to them, قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَقُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعًا فَتُحَاجِرُ فِيهَا. Wasn't there other places enough on the face of the earth where you could have gone and practiced Islam and practiced the command of Allah? What the earth was not enough vast for you to go to? Really, these are only excuses. People who can, who want, they even in the hard time, look in Afghanistan, in many of the countries, Iraq, other three people who are following Islam, they're still following Islam there in the very hard times. Very poor times, very difficult time, and who are not like here, there is no restriction in you, for example, to follow Islam. You have enough to eat, enough to drink, enough to live on, wearing clothes, no restriction if you want to follow Islam as such. Most of the commands, now the government doesn't oppose you, but rather if you follow Islam really, they will appreciate you more really. That's how it happens with companions. Because we don't follow Islam really in the truly sense, then that's why these people in government, they become against people. Because in the practical dealings, we are doing all kinds of, we are not working, we are not doing all kinds of different fraud and all causing chaos. And then we say, I want to keep beard and I actually want to do this. They see that these type of people, their behavior is this. This person or this woman who doing observing hijab or observing this the beard, but their character they see with the dealings with the people and money matters and all other things, it is completely fraud and completely all other wrong things they do. Then they say there is no benefit in their what they are doing. But if people really present their real character of Islam, then when the companions went into the governments of Kufar, they wanted them to live there because of their honesty. That city, Madinatul Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam city, usme log ki jo nayi imandari par chal rahe koi. आप कपड़ा लेते हैं, आप खजूरें लेते हैं, वो शायद आपको बताएं कुछ दे कुछ दे. ये उस नबी के शहर है कि जिससे अमानतदार बंदा मखलूक में नहीं. वही नबी अकरम सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम अभी दैट देयर वाज नॉट अनाउंसमेंट ऑफ प्रॉफिटहुड. प्रॉफिट सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम वाज वेरी यंग इन यूथफुल एज व्हेन ही वेंट टू सीरिया विद हिज अंकल, वेरी यंग एज, एंड देन ही वेंट विद द investment of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha to Syria. And there people from Makkah and all these areas, they took lot of things like dates and things to be sold there. There everyone was selling And a person who wants to sell, he wants his product to be sold however it is. So on the top they'll have very good fruit, on the bottom at least it will not be good fruit. On the top very good dates, on the bottom they do dates, or they show something else and give something else. In those times when there was not even one verse of the Quran revealed, that is why we say that the prophets are prophets even before the announcement of prophethood. Because they were prophets in the Alame Arwah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them. That is why their character is matchless and sinless even before. If they are not prophets, how can they save themselves? That they had, if they didn't know that they were going to become a prophet, or they are for them a prophet, how can they actually save themselves? They are actually sinless people who are born as a prophet. Then there is a different announcement. People who say that though prophets only actually come prophet at 40 years of age, look at Hazrat Isa al-Islam, Jesus son of Mary, who spoke in his actually cradle. Said, Qala inni abdullah. No other person speaks. He said, Aatani al-Kitab. Allah has given me book. Where was the book at that time? You tell me. So Injil came after, when he became adult. Wo Injil to unko mili ki jab wo badi umar ke ho gaye, when he came actually to the adult age, youthful age. Lekin wo us waqt farma rahe hain pangure mein, they are saying in the cradle, when Maryam, Sayyida Maryam pointed at him, Qala inni abdullah. He said, I am the servant of Allah. Aatani al-kitab. Allah has given me the book. Waja'alani nabiyya. And He made me the prophet. He made me the prophet already. Not that I am going to reach when the Injil reveals on me. But He's already said, Aatani al-kitab. He has already given me the book. حالانکہ انجیل تو بعد میں آئی. تو انبیاء علیہ السلام جو ہے رسول, وہ پہلے ہی نبی ہوتے ہیں. رسول علیہ السلام سے کنت نبیاً, میں اس وقت بھی نبی تھا کہ جب آدم علیہ السلام ابھی پانی اور گارے کے درمیان تھے. I was a prophet when Adam علیہ السلام was between water and clay, meaning that he, the physical parts of the Bani, that Adam al-Islam was created, yet in the process, and I was a prophet at that time. Because there is a world, there is another world which exists. So Rasulullah went, and all other traders went with him to Syria. They all had put up high heaps of their product, dates and other fruits. People were going, they were checking who, what it is, and some were mixed fruits, which is rotten, fruits which is semi-rotten, fruit which is not looking very fresh, another looking very fresh, they all mixed and things. Rasulullah in that time, when he was in very young age, almost 23 years old, tai saal 24 saal Hazur al-Islam ki umr mubarak. آپ علیہ السلام نے اپنے سارے مال کا, with his all his fruits and dates, he put three different heaps, he put three different categories. One of them, for example, was actually of the very, the dates which were perfect and which were fresh and which had no fault in them, high quality. Top quality dates he put separate, then the middle quality which were good but not very, and which was damaged, those dates were separate. And as similarly with clothing like this, similarly with fruit like this, he alayhi salatu wasalam did. Now his, all of his provisions and his investment or his product which Rasulullah sallam brought, they were all sold. Why? Simple reason. Because they are all different categories of people. Because the price is different. This is For example, 10 pound a kilo, this is 5 pound, this is 3. They are all different kind of people. Some are poor, some are rich. That's now the marketing and the sales and the other techniques, they are now in the West, they are reaching that state now, which Rasulullah Sallam 1500 years ago actually showed them how to do it. All this service, quality of service, returning things and having different quality, now people are benefiting. Now these techniques are coming. Previously, all was a mixture thing actually. Everyone was trying to just to make good out of whatever he can, and they were not doing good. But now the science or the arts of selling and marketing, they have understood now that if we separate these things and price them differently, and good quality separate, medium quality, that's how people are happy. So people go to those stores, they can see genuine thing but separately. So they pay for whatever they see. If they don't have money, they pay less and get that thing. So that was the conduct of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and those times when there is no announcement of prophethood yet. But now again, in those in Arab countries, these things have come as well. Back the matters of Jahiliyyah. But here, non-Muslims, they have understood the wisdom of that. They are practicing and benefiting. So people who, they go to those stores very happily and buy blindly where they can know, they can return things if they don't work, if they don't like. And others, it is a war if you want to return. The people won't go next time. They will think 100 times to buy from there. Similarly, qualities and things. Anyway, I was giving you the example of actually that reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the closeness of Allah Azzawajal, meaning strengthening the relationship with Allah and showing you through the kalima, la ilaha. Weakens and illallah strengthen. So this means that in other words, until you weaken or cut your relationship with the evil side of it, strengthening relationship with Allah cannot happen. You have to do two things. That is why in all the course of Tariqah Muhammadiyah, firstly you weaken relationship and then strengthen. Meaning, if you are given about the seven organs, firstly the things which harm you, you weaken your relationship with them. For example, the sins of the tongue, for example, they are the creation, they are the evil creation which actually takes you away from Allah. So firstly you weaken with them one by one. You don't know, but the mashayikh who have actually made through the wisdom they attained from Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they know. That's why they put it like that. We cannot know until day of judgment the wisdom behind it fully. Why? For us actually, they have just prepared food and presented it on the tray that you just eat. I don't know how apples are made, how they are created, how Allah Swanda creates, how they come out of the ground, how they actually go on the trees, which proteins, which vitamins, which other things actually come. I don't know. For me, if the apple is there, alhamdulillah, I should eat. The next part of the kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also signifies same thing. He says that you want to know how to weaken relationship with Allah, basic creation, and strengthen the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow Him. He will show you. He's practically done it. His severe relationship with his very close relatives, if they were not actually on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the battle of Badr, some people were the uncles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people were his relatives. It was his own tribe and own family and own nation. So Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the part of the kalima Muhammadur Rasulullah, also refers to that you strengthen relationship with the messenger of Allah and weaken the relationship with other leaders and other lifestyles. Until you do that, this is not going to benefit you. Today what people are doing, they are not following Rasulullah ﷺ. If they are following Prophet ﷺ as well as they are making other people happy as well. So in marriage, in parties, in other things, or in other ways of life, social way of living, they are following the norms of family, the norms, their customs, although they are against Prophet ﷺ. That's why they are not getting any closeness. Because it's like worshipping Allah and worshipping the idol as well. So you worship Allah in your private time in the mosque, and when you go to your tribe and other things, they are worshipping an idol, they say, come, you have to join us. They say, okay, they will become displeased, let's join in. Worshipping Allah and worshipping the false deity, the person is not going to get closeness to Allah. Similarly, following Rasulullah ﷺ and following his enemies, which are opposing his ways, they are not going to gain closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only you have to cut that away first. So the companions completely cut that away. So even the term, the second part of the kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is showing you that strengthening relationship with this messenger and weaken the relationship with the messenger of shaitan and the messengers of dunya and the messengers of falsehood. Until you don't actually decide, then you are not. People sometimes they say, why this person have so much closeness to Allah? Like many of awliya Allah. I am doing lot of worship, I am following this, I love Rasulullah. But the problem is that you are worshipping good and evil both. You are worshipping Allah maybe 10 hours, and if you worship Shaitan even for 1 minute, no closeness to Allah. Maybe that wali or that pious person is real pious, he worships Allah for 1 hour, but he is not worshipping Shaitan, anyone, for anyone. So he will get more closeness to Allah. Similarly, a person who follows the Sunnah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wholly he is following, but he also, his own, now it's party time, let's participate in them. Now it's this time, let's do this. Now it is social function, let's do this. Now it is this, let's do this. Now my wife is saying this, let's do this. Outwardly they have beard, they have Imama Sharif, and people see, they have no closeness to Allah's Messenger. Because they are doing shirk, fil i'ta'a bid Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like there's a shirk with Allah, there is a shirk actually with Rasulullah as well. If you participate, make partner anyone with him, you also become a disbeliever. Allah se shirk kare kafir ho jata hai. Huzur e Islam ki zaat mein shirk kare banda, wo bhi kafir ho jata hai. That's why all the ummah have given fatwa on that whoever claims Nabuwa falsely, whoever believe in them or that person, they're out of Islam. They've not negated Allah, they're not doing shirk with Allah, but they've done shirk in the prophethood of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Similarly, there's a shirk in following. You follow Rasulullah Sallam, he is the guide, he is to be followed, and if you say, okay, others can be followed, you are doing shirk fil ita'a Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وہ اطاعت رسول میں شرک کر رہے ہیں تو اس کو بھی پھر وہ کافر تو نہیں ہوگا لیکن قرب نہیں ملے گا. He's not going to. تو یہ کلمے میں بھی بیان ہے. اسی طرح ابھی وقت بھی ختم ہو گیا, کل انشاءاللہ تھوڑا اس کے متعلق بھی بیان. پر آج جو ہے یہ جو آپ نے سمجھا کہ the significance that there is something which maybe me and you are not grasping, which were in the companions, if we do and we can achieve ourselves and share that gift too with all people, young and old, educated and uneducated, and then inshallah you will be doing, fulfilling the responsibility and carry on your own level the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never said, any person who came to him, he never said, go and educate yourself then come back to me. I am the messenger of Allah, I can't, yeah, you can't, won't understand me. No, simple layman people, they came and he, alayhi salatu wasalam, answered them. Whatever question, there are so many examples in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Now if you want to ask anything in relation to this, please do, because otherwise there are some other sessions. Abhi kuch der baad aur halqe honge, the study circles jisme aap aqeedah, you will correct and learn aqeedah. Secondly, you will learn about the masail of fiqh, dealings with people and about worship, about prayers, wuzu, wagaira, this teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also try to do a halqa on the sunan of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. For example, discuss how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat. What are the sunan of eating? We do it every day. So why not do it the way of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Sunan of sleeping, sunan of dealing with people, sunan of other dressing and other things. So koshish kare teen kisam ke halqe roz, bishak 20-20 minute kyo. Aqeedah, fiqh, and also the sunan, and tazkiyah if anyone needs. And then inshallah between asr and maghrib you have free time, meaning you can do your personal amal, tilawat kare till asr till actually isha. Woh to aapka apna time hai, apne amal aap kar sakte hain, awabin padhe, salatu tasbih padhe, other things, rest for a little while. So asr till isha, isha ke baad phir free time hai, so almost only half an hour just a discourse for people who come and taravi and things. So phir free time until 2 o'clock, half past two. So sessions jo hai main, your sessions are for example 3 till asr time, ye yani 2-2.5 ghante ye time hota hai, or 3 hours you can say this time, and bas yahi hai actual time of your study. Others are just actually participating and enjoying yourself spiritually. It is like a spiritual entertainment. There is no hard work in there. But durood sharif ki majlis hai, wo to ek samjhe bahut ruhani taskeen ki, spiritual satisfaction, spiritual closeness ki majlis hai. Wahan to koi zehni pe bojh hai nahi. Kumbh sharif ka tasavvur hai, azul islam ka tasavvur, aur aap durood sharif padh rahe hain. So, lay de ke itikaf mein yahi 3 ghante, these are the actual 3 hours which can be productive. And other time you try to fulfill once in 24 hours at least the amal which are lived, because they are your individual, between the individual and Allah, they will be strengthening your relationship, not this. This is the knowledge and tools you are learning to do that. This is not the actual connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the knowledge and the science of acting. This is not the actually that thing. It's like if I gave you a lecture how to eat fruit or apples and mangoes, your stomachs do not get fulfilled, nor actually your mouth get the taste of it. But I can teach you that that's how mangoes or apples are grown, that's how you should grow it, that's how they taste, and you should eat them, they're very healthy for you. But real benefit will come when you go individually and take an apple and eat it on your own time. Isi tarah jo hai ye Allah ke qurb aur raza ke fruit ke bare mein baat ho rahi hai. We talk about the fruit of closeness of Allah. The individual amals are for you to actually taste that fruit and strengthen that relationship, which is really the essence of closeness of Allah. This is the tools. The aqeedah is also conditioned, the fiqh as well. These are only knowledge things which you need to actually do it. Ab aap poochne koi baat poochni hai, anything you want to mention in relation to understand more. Walaikum salam.
Yani bir şey ki Allah'ın
اس کے بارے میں یہ ہے کہ وہ اللہ پاک نے فضل کے طور پر اپنی مرضی سے کہا کہ میں یہ حقدار بن گیا. جیسے ایک مثلا ایک بندہ ہے, وہ اس پہ حق تو نہیں بنتا آپ کی مدد کرنا, لیکن وہ کہتا ہے کہ میں اپنی مرضی سے اپنا فرض ضروری سمجھتا ہوں, میں بنا لیتا ہوں اپنی مرضی سے. تو اپنی مرضی سے اللہ پاک کوئی چیز لازم کر لے اپنے, تو وہ اللہ کی مرضی ہے. لیکن یہ کہ بندے نے کوئی کام کر دیا کہ بندہ اس کا مستحق ہے, وہ نہیں. تو یہ ہے کہ بھئی اللہ پاک اپنی مرضی سے بتا, ہم تو نہیں اللہ پاک نے یہ کرو تو میں اپنی اس کا حق بنتا ہے, میں اس کو یعنی بچاؤں یا اس سے راضی ہو جاؤں. تو وہ جو اس طرح کی چیزیں قرآن حدیث میں آئے تو وہ اس کا مطلب یہی ہے کہ اللہ پاک نے اپنی مرضی سے اپنے فضل سے کر دیا, کوئی مجبور نہیں کر سکتا اللہ. یہ مطلب وعلیکم السلام و رحمۃ اللہ.
Going back to a point you said that it's our responsibility to go outside and to invite others back into the masajid and also to purify ourselves to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we know as we created ourselves that we're not in the position to invite others, what's the bashri, or is it permissible for us if we're already trying to purify ourselves but we're not on that road yet fully? Do you still advise us to still invite people and to do the dawah and to try to embody Islam?
Right. The brother is saying that when we are not enoughly equipped or we are not purified ourselves, and then do we still have the duty to invite others and give dawah to others? Now there are two forms of actually inviting people and guiding people. One is, as you have seen in the course of self-purification, if you look at this diagram, brother, have you seen this before in the... One is all this path actually, from example starting the journey from here to the bridge and to the mountain and all this, how to do that. That is one part which only those people can do who have learned, who are on the path. Other is just to create awareness and want in people, fear in people, hope in people, concern, which are these matters. So with these matters everyone can invite everyone. There is no restriction. For example, you might be responsible be for your family only, or your relative, or your friend, or circle of friends, all these things. So with these things, mentioning about death, someone has died, and you say, brother, look, we have to die as well, and we should prepare as well. Sometime mentioning day of judgment, sometime reality of dunya, how people were living in peace, and now to an earthquake or anything, they have actually now in trouble or in destruction, or there's a disaster, or how people become unfaithful to each other. This is dunya. And so anything to do with any verse of the Quran, like Rasulullah said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, that convey to others even though it is one verse. You might not know much, but maybe you know this little bit of any story of any prophet, companions, or actually any part of knowledge which just creates awareness, and you share only that with them. If they say, now we have that awareness, we want to come close to Allah, then if you don't know, you can take to someone else. So there is a dawah for everyone. The level of dawah which everyone can give. Some people can guide fully to the very last stages. Some can only tell you the simple things. Some can only create thirst. So this person, you can come as well with your friend. Because look at the people of dunya, how they do. Some are experts in how to, for example, become very successful businessmen, or successful or other in other areas. Some are not, but everyone is inviting towards dunya at their own level. So similarly, deen as well. Some person, for example, only have one wife and children. He is providing dunya, he is guiding his children only. That you should go to school, you should study, etc., etc., is all level. Some people are, for example, leaders of the family, they are guiding. Some people are leaders of local community, let's say counselors and things, they guide their own wards and things. Some may become like governors or MPs there. So there are different levels for everyone. So Islam puts responsibility. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra'in." Everyone of you is like a shepherd over something. You shepherd over country, sometime over city, sometime over tribe, sometime over your own children. If not, you should be shepherd upon yourself. You will be asked about yourself, responsible for yourself, giving dawah to yourself. So you can find yourself which level you are and practically just do it and work your way up actually. Because the Imam Shafi'i rahmahullah said once that if you don't give dawah to your people or your own nafs, to people, he said about if you don't give dawah to your nafs and engage it in goodness, it will engage you in evil. It will give dawah to you. So you have only two choices. Either you, like some person knows that this person is going to kill me. He know for sure that this person is finding and searching to kill me, and he will do it. Now it is just a matter of either you kill him or he'll kill you. Understand? So if you get the opportunity, don't lose the opportunity. Because he is going to kill you anyway. So similarly, shaitan is on the mission to destroy you. The nafs is on the mission to destroy you. If you don't engage them, they will engage you. They will not actually have mercy upon you. So that's why the Mashaykh has said that if you don't engage the nafs in the good acts, then it will engage you in its own evil acts. So that's why people who are not doing anything or they are just uselessly sitting and waste their time, they get engaged in evil acts inevitably. And people who have a timetable, who are always giving dawah, engaging themselves, not letting it sit free, alhamdulillah, they get saved. Similarly, regarding people as well. If you don't give them, let's say you have a family and they are doing something bad, and you say, no, I am not bothered what they do. Let them do whatever they are. And they will invite you as well. They will say, we have a function, why not coming to your function? All their mixed men and women dancing and jumping, and they'll invite you. Now you will be in the hiding position. You will say, no, I can't come, etc. Or you will say, come under pressure and come. This was because actually you sat like a dummy there and they came and invited you. And if you became active, and when you knew that they are doing something and you went to them, that look, brother or sister or family, that this world is temporal and what you are doing is going against the ruler of the world, and this is will be very detrimental to you in this world and hereafter, I advise you not to do it, because I am in your welfare and well-wisher. And then they might actually change, or at least what they will do is they won't invite you. The least thing they will do, it will not invite you. They'll say, oh, this person has already actually said this, and no, we are not going to invite him. So regarding people and your own nafs, same principle applies. If you don't keep inviting them towards good, they will find opportunity. They will actually have hopes in you that you might entertain them. Yes, brother. MashaAllah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You mentioned that people set a different level of sacrifice on the way to Allah. And one of the questions that was on my mind was, if you're seeking that path and closest to Allah, and you know, maybe you may have to sacrifice time, and your people may
applying you for provisional support, and you know that they're by themselves, how do you go about balancing, sacrificing yourself and having lost your own circumstances, but not wanting to be a burden on others?
Right, inshallah. People who have heard through the speaker, they have understood. If you can just repeat the question, because that was disturbing the voice without the speaker.
The person I was asking, that you mentioned individuals going to some sacrifice more than others. If you're seeking close to Allah, sacrifices to be made. What if you know that some of those sacrifices may, have an effect on people that maybe rely upon you, that are close to you, maybe your family, loss of provision or support or things like that may affect others?
Right, the brother is asking that we are encouraged and to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the closeness to Allah azza wa jal. And what if the person have responsibility of certain people upon them, or they're running a business, or they are actually have a family they have to support and things. The answer to that is that is the misconception I'm trying to erase in people's mind, and that was the whole purpose of my discourse, this and also the coming discourses, that this is one of the barriers and this is one of the veils through which shaitan keeps you away from Allah. You cannot come close to Allah only when you leave, for example, your family, or leave your workplace, or leave your home, or do this type of sacrifice. That's what I've been saying all through my discourse, that you can become close to Allah while staying wherever you are. Only the dimension of sacrifice will change for you. Some person, maybe he is free, he can go invite others as well. But maybe for you the sacrifice is firstly to bring your family into the Islamic norms and purified people, or actually purify yourself, or if you are doing business and work, dealings with people. That is why our mashayikh say the tariqah Muhammadiyah in that is that we don't take people out of the world, we take the world out of people, if you understand. مشائخ نے فرمایا کہ ہم لوگوں کو دنیا سے باہر نہیں نکالتے ان کے کاروباروں بیوی بچوں سے, بلکہ دنیا کو لوگوں کے اندر سے باہر نکالتے. یعنی ایک ہے شیخ ابو الحسن علی شاذلی سے ایک پاس بندہ آیا, وہ کہتا ہے کہ آئی وانٹ کلوزنس آف اللہ بٹ آئی کانٹ لیو مائی فیملی اینڈ کانٹ لیو ورک اینڈ دا سرکل وچ آئی ہیو لوکیلٹی, اٹس ویری ڈیفیکلٹ. کیونکہ لوگوں کے ذہنوں میں, ان پیپلز مائنڈ, سم ہاؤ دس آئیڈیا شیطان ہیز پٹ اپ رہبانیہ, وچ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے لا رہبانیہ فی الاسلام. ان اسلام دیر از نو مناسٹسزم ایٹ آل. مناسٹسزم از دس دیٹ یو لیو. ان اسلام از دیٹ یو بیکم اے ولی آف اللہ وائل لیونگ ان یور لوکیلٹی, وائل ڈوئنگ اے بزنس. یو بیکم اے ولی آف اللہ وائل یو آر فلوئنگ دا فیلڈز. یو بیکم اے ولی آف اللہ whilst you are a teacher, wherever society, in whichever society you are living. So, in response to your question, let's know that person will not be asked to make that kind of sacrifices, which are also rights of people which Islam has laid down itself to be fulfilled. So like, for example, in the lifetime of Rasulullah ﷺ, one person said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, I have given my name in such a such jihad. Imagine how important that jihad will be, which Rasulullah ﷺ would participate in, and how much Islam will need people there. And how much, he said, I've given my name in jihad, but my wife is also has never given her name. She intends to go on Hajj. So probably Prophet ﷺ said, you go with your wife actually to Hajj. Others were actually sacrificing things. So meaning now the rights of the wife or the company are to her actually take preference. That was the instruction for him. So in no way any Islamic sacrifice requires you to actually abandon the rights of people or violate the rights of people who are there. Whilst fulfilling them, a person can make sacrifices according to one's own level. And people do make sacrifices, like in dunya you may say, some people from in our Asian countries, their parents are there, their wives are there, their children are there. Many years they come and live in this country to fulfill their rights in another way, or some they're separated, they made a kind of sacrifice. It's being separate from them, they're earning. After 2-3 years or 4 years they go back, but they have made sacrifice. So for deen as well a person can. And if that type of demand comes, like in the time of Rasulullah when there was all Islam was in danger, then a person is asked to abandon everything. That is a different, that is emergency level invitation which you are talking about, where a person is asked to even sacrifice now the rights of wife, rights of, now he cannot consider. Like in the battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all people should go. He announced, not him, actually Hazrat Bilal announced that radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has decided to fight the war outside the city. All people should come. So the companions, at that time they had no option, that is your wife or children, or if at that time anyone stayed behind, they will actually will be punished, meaning in the sense that they will actually be disobedient to Rasulullah unless they have a proper excuse. Still some people stayed behind, like Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stayed in some wars. One of his wives, the daughter of Rasulullah, was ill, he was looking after. So these people were still excused. But then there were people like Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who knew, who had such a relationship with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that as I said, the closeness of Allah means strengthening, weakening in relation with the creation, strengthening the relationship with Allah and His Messenger. That is what reaching Allah. And he had this at the very highest level, that he was given the title of the Lion of Allah and His Messenger. But how did he express this? That when it is said. In the books, that when he was called, when Hazrat Bilal made announcement toward the battle of Uhud, someone gave him something to eat or drink, that you are going for war. That immediately the announcement they heard, that Rasulullah was instructed to go out and fight, and his wife or someone in the home, they gave him something to eat, that eat or drink this, because now in the scorching sun you have to fight and things. But he said, no, now the instruction of Rasulullah has come to my ears, even eating or drinking something I will not until I face the enemies of Allah and His Messenger. So one is that type of people. So what this shows is only that how much attachment and strength, strong relationship they had with Allah and His Messenger. And that is what determines closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not outward worship only. Shaitan had worshipped very much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outwardly, was observing taqwa and doing a lot of worship. But the attachment with Allah was not so strong. And when He commanded, he didn't bow down. Because he was had more strong relationship with his own nafs than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he chose his own nafs. That is what. So that is why it is easy for many people to read Salatu Tasbih, as they are doing Nawafil, they are doing Zikr. But that Mujahida which really takes you towards Allah very quickly, which is opposing the nafs, doing mujahida against any evil thought or any desire of the sin or any sin opportunity comes and you reject it. That is the kind of mujahida really, which actually shows how much attachment or relationship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you have. Not the positive worship. Because that on nafs it is not hard. You can do zikr for 1 hour, but to same person will find hard actually to observe his tongue or eyes from sin maybe out for 5 minutes. But he can do zikr. Up 10 days mein 10 days we are sitting here, there's no opportunity of sin as such. So it's easier. We are doing worship, it's a positive. But the real, this positive worship is given so that this strength of character, strength of attachment, connection with Allah come, so that when anything goes, opposes it, we can withhold that rope. That is the thing.
The concept of briefly on Zuhud, obviously a different degree, is it no advice better to seclude or to seclude and then to get back involved in the dunya or in the world, but remove the world from within yourself, which is a high, or what should we try to achieve?
All the Sufia, the masters of the science, they have actually, all they have mentioned is Zuhud is detachment of the heart with dunya, not the detachment of the outward body with the dunya. Zuhud is detachment of the heart with the dunya. This time I have told you, Shaykh Abu Hasan al-Shazri has said that the person came, I want closeness to Allah, but I can't leave the world. He said, son, we don't take you out of the world, but we take the world out of you. That is Zuhud. But sometimes people seclude them outwardly, that is for their safeguard, meaning they thought it is weakness, we might get in it again, or they don't have such responsibility, or like in the times of fitna, Rasulullah said, when a person finds it hard to practice Islam in locality, everyone, 99.9% people have actually gone on the wrong path. Now the danger is that instead of he inviting others, he will mingle with them. For this type of person is better to seclude. Jazakallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk.